a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
He's on fire.
It's impossible.
Posey will defend. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
And we're back. The Razzball Basketball Podcast is back from our long weekend. So much has gone down since last Thursday. I don't know if we can handle it all. It is Tuesday, November 4th, 2014, and man, how'd your first week go, Slim?
Yeah, it was 50-50 in most of my leagues. I did fine. Didn't do too good in the REL, but whatever. It's a long season. It's only 1 week.
Defending champion, 20th place out of 20. Panic mode. Hit the panic button.
I was in the bottom third halfway through it last year. I'll be fine.
I love my team, the REL, man. But we'll get into that later. We're going to talk about our 30-point challenge this week. Big performances through the first week, plus Monday. Couple injuries. Take a look at the RCLs and take a quick preview of tonight's games. I want to start with our 30-point challenge because this has become a thing, damn it. I want this to be a big thing.
I saw it has its own post.
It does, because I want it to be a thing. through our first three picks, I'm the only one that has a 30-point score. I picked Westbrook in the game before he got hurt. And now that we actually have some data, we can actually use the NBA top 10 scorers as our guys you can't pick. And you can pick anyone to score 30 points. Everyone should be doing this at their office. Start an office pool. This was a lot of fun with the pool because, we had like 8 or 9 people in it and no one got it for like a few weeks. It got up into like $100. So... taking a look at our top 10 NBA scorers so far, Klay Thompson leading the league in scoring. Really?
It'll last another week.
Then we got Harden, Griffin, LeBron, Bosh, Curry, Aldridge, Kobe, DeRozan, Anthony Davis. So other than Klay Thompson, all those other guys seem pretty legit. So those are guys you can't pick. Who do you have tonight going off for 30 points?
I'm going with Carmelo Anthony being guarded by Paul Pierce.
That's a good one.
That sounds like fun.
Paul Pierce does have to use an NBA regulation walker, so I like that pick. You know, I'm gonna go a little crazy. I'm gonna go a little crazy today. I'm going Reggie Jackson.
Okay.
I know. Lowry's a pretty good defender, but. I think there's a chance they might have to put DeRozan on Jackson, because we'll talk about him later, but they might have to start Sebastian Telfair next to Reggie Jackson, because there's just no one alive on the Thunder right now. So, I'll update our 30-point challenge. You can find that on the podcast tab. It's underneath all podcasts, JB versus Slim 30-point challenge. I'll put our picks in there, and we'll have our three picks a week, and hopefully Slim can catch me with my roaring 1-point lead.
I was thinking about if I had one a little bit off. I was thinking about going with Dwayne Wade against Houston.
That's a good one too.
I mean, if Dwight Howard shuts down Bosch and Wade gets guarded by Harden, they could just go back and forth all game.
That will be a really fun ISO game. That'll be kind of like that. Did you watch the rookies versus sophomores last year with Timmy Jr. versus Waiters?
I didn't watch the game. I saw the highlights.
Yeah.
It could be something. 2-minute stretch, 5-minute stretch, something like that.
Yeah, or each one just hit a three, like, right away. It could be something like that. So, for our REL League, I got to tell this story. If you didn't read our REL recap, I know that's not exactly the most popular post because, no one cares about everyone's leagues. But I thought this was an awesome story. So, I've got... a 300th point lead in field goal percentage, and my opponent has DeRozan and Valanciunas last Sunday, and they both have 50% shooting days, so he takes a big lead. Then I got MKG. He goes 3-for-4 before getting hurt. We're going to talk MKG a little bit later, and then so I'm forced to put in Aldridge, who I was going to bench if I had the field goal percentage lead because he didn't have anyone going in that late game, and Aldridge starts like 1-for-6 and it's over. I'm like, whatever. But I decided to throw it on just to see how Aldridge is doing. And down the stretch, he goes something like 6-for-6 or 7-for-7. and field goal percentage ties at .423 with me with the star, meaning it's tied, but I'm like to the 10,000th place, barely higher. And then the very last Blazers possession, well, it was actually the second last because they turned it over the last one. They have a complete broken play, and the shot clock's running down, and Aldridge has to force up a three, and it airballs. And the last shot of the game, of the last shot of week one, cost me a category. I thought it was hilarious. That's why I love fantasy basketball. I'm not complaining. It's just why I love fantasy basketball. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, like seems like almost every week a category comes down to that last game.
Mm-hmm. And for it to
usually
come down,
it's a steal or a block, one of those low counting stats. But when it's field goal percent, it can get, you know, it can get pretty interesting.
When it came, since it came down to that last shot of the game, of the last game, I don't know. That was one of my favorite moments of fantasy basketball I've had ever. I mean, I know it's, you know even winning you know, that was just so cool to follow it throughout the day. I mean, it was mostly good just to follow it because the Panthers didn't play because they're terrible, and I hate NFL right now. So,
yeah, I was forced to watch the Dolphins game. That was tough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was really tough to watch the Dolphins just completely murder the Chargers, I'm sure. Sure, that was really tough. All right, reining us back into NBA. Talked to about how Reggie Jackson's my pick. Last night, 23-4-5, took 20 shots. Did have 7 turnovers, but what I liked about last night, played 42 minutes, even though it was kind of a blowout. They need him to get back into game shape, and I mean quickly. How big do you think Reggie Jackson's going to be for this month with no Durant and Westbrook?
Oh, he should be owned everywhere. He should be owned and started everywhere. Absolutely. 8-team leagues with 5 players, he should be started.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I completely agree. I mean, the turnovers are going to be a little rough, but... man, it, you know, I was telling people that you could even drop Jackson if you needed to early in the year because he had this ankle sprain, and Westbrook, obviously, his usage was going to be off the chart. And then as soon as Westbrook had the hand injury, I said, be sure Jackson wasn't dropped by someone else and pick him back up.
Yeah, and if this was like an auction thing, I wouldn't be throwing all my money at him either. He's not, we still expect both Westbrook and Durant to come back. And when that happens, Reggie's going to be back down to his, you know, probably 30-minute backup role with very low usage.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's great now, but I wouldn't expect this to be a season-long top 50 player.
Oh, for sure. And I don't either, but for this stretch now, it's hard to get more excited for another player with such a big opportunity he's never had before.
Yeah, and someone that doesn't kill both percents like Roten.
Oh, poor Roten. So, staying with OKC, this is just getting preposterous. Andre Roberson hurt his foot last night. He's got a foot sprain. He's definitely sitting out tonight. I mean, they just have no one healthy. So, a guy I've said a couple times in comments, I'm streaming him in one RCL league. I think Sebastian Telfair is going to get some playing time tonight. Had a pretty big game last night. Do you think you would stream Telfair as a guy in 12ers if you had an open spot?
For sure. I'm thinking about playing him in a daily.
Yeah, he'd be a good pick. I mean, I don't know what he'd be in DraftKings, but yeah, had a, you know.
Yeah, that's the problem. Because he had that one start, his price got inflated, so he'd have to come back down to earth, but maybe.
Yeah, and I mean, he played decent. I mean, he had that 1-for-10 shooting game in the start, in the first non-Westbrook start, but you know, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, and 4 steals. And then in 35 minutes last night, 16-5-6 with 3 trays. I mean, he has to play 30 minutes tonight at least. So I like him as a pretty good streamer for the day, and I am looking forward to his game tonight. Perry Jones, he cooled down a little bit last night. Now, again, this was kind of a blowout against, you know, the Nets. You know, Serge Ibaka was looking really good, but he just didn't play late. Do you think the buzz for Perry Jones for this next month got a little too big considering his big games before this one?
Yeah, I had options to pick him up in a couple places and I let it go. I don't think this will last that long at all. Reggie Jackson's going to own the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, they had this game, the game where he came off the 32-point game, That was, you know, the big one. But then the game after, with no Westbrook and no Jackson, 23-4-2. And then Jackson comes back, and he's only 16-4-1. So, I mean, you know, 2+3s the past three games. I think he's fine to hit you some trays. But, you know, once everyone comes back, he's going to be really, really lost for minutes.
He could very well just not come off the bench once everybody's back.
Yeah, agree with that. I mean, he's a decent player, but, you know, probably expect Robeson to start over him, and it's just going to be a struggle for minutes for all these guys once the stars come back.
He's got a bright future, though, once Reggie signs elsewhere next year.
Yeah, and he'll definitely... Where do you think Reggie could go next year?
There's a million places. I'd love to see him in L.A.
What if he joins the your Heat?
Yeah, that'd be a nice one, too.
I don't know if they have the money. I don't know their cap situations. I know Bosch is making a butt ton, but... yeah, that'd be a good one. So speaking of stars coming back, I don't know. That was a horrible transition because I don't know if he's a star.
Star.
But Brook Lopez comes back last night. Has a really good game. 18-6-0-1-2, you know, so 18 points, 6 boards, 2 blocks. Shot 6 of 10, hit 6 of 7 free throws. I watched some of this game and he looked, you know, more agile than I would have expected for a guy that wears size 57 shoes. So what do you think about Brook Lopez moving forward?
Yeah, in 29 minutes nonetheless. Yeah, he's going to be great for the next week and a half.
Yeah, I mean, are you holding on?
I am selling as hard as I possibly can right now.
Yeah, well, I wasn't saying holding Brella. I was thinking more Mason Plumlee. How are you holding Mason Plumlee?
That's tough. He's been so bad with so many. Well, he's been so bad with the starting job and not getting so many minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think some of that was foul trouble, especially game one.
One of them was, yeah, that one was the rough one.
But, yeah, Teletovich is going to steal all them extra power forward minutes. Yeah, I'd let him go. In a 12-er, I'd let him go. There's a lot of guys out there right now.
Yeah, I did go 10-8 in 15.5 minutes, so you like that. One thing you don't like is the resurrection of Kevin Garnett. Oh, man, 2 games ago, played 35 minutes, going 18-14. Then back down to his 20 minutes last night for 6-6. When you're behind Kevin Garnett and Brook Lopez, that's why I've been saying I think you should try to hold on to Plumlee if you can.
Yeah, if they're going to play with 25 minutes, he could go down before Brook Lopez does. No, but it's not going to happen. I bet that's his career high or his season high for points.
18 points?
Yep. I bet he doesn't beat that.
I think he could, but I definitely think it's a season high of minutes. That's for sure. I don't know how he's going to hold up. So, race to see who gets injured first.
I just love how he's up to 30% owned. Like, people think this is going to continue.
Yeah, I don't buy it at all. Like, I'd rather have Perry Jones, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
I'd rather have Plumlee than Garnett.
Yeah, yeah, I would too. I think there's just too much upside there. And, downside with no ceiling.
Downside. Is that a thing? We're going to make that one up?
Yeah, I guess.
Got downside?
Did you watch any of the Celtics-Mavericks game last night?
No, I didn't see that one. I saw the box score. I was surprised.
It was wild because the Celtics were down 30, and this was the open in my article today. The Celtics were down 30 in like the second quarter and then came all the way back. I didn't watch too much of it, just watched the end, but... big news out of this one is both Jeff Green and Avery Bradley having 30-point games. Which of the two, I mean, obviously Jeff Green's owned in more leagues, but which of the two are you buying for kind of their respective value before this game?
I'd say Jeff Green, I guess, because he was been getting the shots up even before this one, whereas Bradley wasn't getting minutes and wasn't getting shots up in those minutes. So, yeah, I guess Green was probably still a top 100 player before that game.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know if he was for me. I put a really interesting stat on today's article. I'm going to pull it up real quick. But the last time Jeff Green had a monster game, and I think it was the last time he had a 30-point game, was last March, so March 16th against the Pelicans. He went 39-6. The eight games right after that, 11.8, 3.6, 2.3 was his slash with 34% shooting. I mean, he's just so just has one of these games, and I can't buy it at all. I mean, I wouldn't rather have Avery Bradley, but I'm more encouraged by Bradley being able to do this than seeing Green have his one or two blow up games.
Yeah, but I don't expect Jeff Green to hit five threes every game or even shoot 50% that often. But he can still grab a couple of boards.
Yeah.
Which, what's his name? Avery Bradley doesn't really do.
Avery Bradley
doesn't really do much of anything but score some points.
Bradley had more rebounds in this game than Jeff Green. New trade.
He had 2-0 in the two before.
I know. I'm joking.
Those three steals he had were his first three of the year. Two games before, he didn't have a steal. No, I don't buy this Avery Bradley for a second. He's available in one league I'm in, and I'm not touching him.
Well, who's like your last roster spot or two? What guards could you drop in that league if you know offhand?
Well, I guess KJ McDaniels is a question mark right now.
Oh, I'd rather have Bradley. I mean, unless you really needed the blocks upside.
Yeah, I like how KJ McDaniels got those 27 minutes last game.
Man, didn't do
I
that
think,
much.
And I think he looks pretty good out there. I think it's just a matter of time. I dropped him in the league I drafted him, and nobody picked him up. And I'm about to go back, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he does.
I think it's coming.
Like you said, he does have playing time upside because the Sixers are just so bad with no depth. I mean, so I guess he does have that going for him. I think I'd rather Bradley right now, unless I needed the blocks upside. How about the MVP? MVP, MVP.
Is he leading the league in assists too? Nah, probably not.
I don't think he is yet. But Brandon Knight is here, going to be your NBA MVP this year. I'm not really serious, but I like to gloat when I get calls right. It makes me feel smart. I usually feel like kind of a dumb person. So you know, when I have my kind of Flowers of Algernon moments, I feel really good about it. But I was the highest of the 25 experts on Fantasy Pros for Brandon Knight. How much do you trust his first three games of 19.7 points, 6.7 boards, and 9 assists a game?
Okay, that first game of 13 is the outlier. The question is, can he be a 6-assist guy? And you know, the 3.3 turnovers also, let's point that one out. So basically, he's just trying to do more. You know, if you take his assist-to-turnover ratio last year, 4.9 to 2.6, with those 3.3 turnovers now, that'd be 2 or 3 assists. And I think he can get to that if he keeps up this usage. Do you see my air quotes?
I did not, but I believe they're there. Seeing is not always believing.
But there's a lot more to this, what he's doing. He's two shots under what he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting 50% for three, and his free throws are at 8 a game right now.
Yeah, his high-volume free throws are awesome. And, I mean, I said this in the very first game, and it's still true now. The fact that he is the pure point guard and the pure motor for the Bucks engine, which is not exactly the best engine. But, the fact that he's the pure one, as opposed to kind of waffling between the 1 and 2 when Larry Drew was coaching, I think that's just... that's almost the most encouraging thing, next to the numbers.
Yeah, and the 6.7 rebounds, that's not going to happen.
I don't know. He's a pretty good rebounder. I mean, I don't expect him to get much past 5, but I think
he's going
to
get over 5? I'll take the under and over under 5.
I'll move it. I'll say 4.8.
And so the 3 years before, he's been about 3.5. Maybe a 4 per 36. Yeah, I'll take the under.
All right. I just think he's a good boarder. And you know.
But I'd buy him. You know, if somebody's looking to get rid of him, I'd pay a little bit extra to get him. He looks like he is the number one guy on that team, unquestionably.
So how about some point guards that are underperforming? Would you trade Kemba Walker straight up for Brandon Knight?
Man, that's a really good one. That's probably the best one you could ask. Shouldn't have asked it first. But, yeah.
That's the only one that
I'm worried about Kemba Walker.
I am, too.
We should have been. Lance Stephenson, he's got the ball in his hands way too much. Kemba's not getting good shots at all, which I guess I wasn't surprised.
Yeah, he's taking terrible fadeaways constantly. I'd rather have Knight.
Yeah, we had a couple questions today about selling Kemba, and I was for it for the most part.
I was too.
But I don't know if that's... There's a better... Yeah, screw it. I'd probably do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be thrilled with it, but I'd do it.
You know, speaking of, if your team is pretty good in assists, and you just kind of need some depth and maybe a three-point shooter, you could probably buy Kemba Walker for really low right now. Which, that's got me thinking. Maybe I'll offer the... I've been trying to trade for Dragic and Ariel as well. Maybe I'll float the Kemba Walker owner a couple buy lows. I don't know what his keeper value is, but...
I think it's 30, 32.
That's kind of high. I don't like that as much. But, I mean, for this year, I don't know. Might be able to get him cheap. Speaking of a guy you might be able to get cheap, and by cheap, I mean you might be able to pick up off waivers... Our boy, the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 13 minutes against the Wizards last game on last Saturday. How much are you worried about our boy Giannis?
See, this is why you don't overdraft sleepers. Because early in the year, you know this is going to happen. They're playing with the lineups, trying to figure out who's who. It's not like Dudley's going to stick. OJ Mayo is going to be OJ Mayo eventually. It's his job. He's going to take it. I'm not selling at all.
I'm not either. Are you? You're holding him where you have him, right?
Yeah. I've got him in one league, and it hasn't even crossed my mind.
Yeah, I'm actually in the same boat. In those 13 minutes, you know, still was useful. 4-3-1-1-1 hit all the categories. I mean, did have the three turnovers, but whatever. You know, he's still being useful in smaller minutes, and it's a guy that you can really hold on to for upside in the second half. I'm holding as well. I mean, in deeper leagues, maybe try to float some buy lows. I floated a couple offers for him to Ben Rotogold is his owner in REL, but he doesn't seem to want to be selling. So hold him.
No, at $15 or whatever, no, I wouldn't be selling either.
Yeah. Another guy that we really liked that's starting off kind of slow, especially given that he's made three starts now. How worried are you about hashtag Occupy Draymond Green?
This one is definitely a little worse because he should be a lot better. He's got one block in those three games.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. That should be a lot better. Yeah, it's not good. Turnovers are too high.
Yeah, I mean, he had the five turnover first game and then only one in the two games after that, so... I think that was, you know, turnovers are a little bit of an outlier. But, yeah, for him to be playing, you know, 31.5 minutes to go, 8.772, 1.303, and making only 1 3 a game, only taking 7.7 shots in 31.5 minutes. I mean, which is, you know, kind of what you'd expect on the Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry team. Yeah, I'm not liking this.
No. I'm not – I don't own him anywhere. He was overdrafted.
Yep, totally agree. I don't either. We discussed this going into the year, how neither of us owned him, and we were sad. But maybe it was a blessing in disguise. And now that David Lee's coming back, I mean, Green could go down to 20 minutes with this slow start.
He could go under with Barnes starting and Iguodala stealing the rest of the minutes at the three. He only plays the four now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to back up Lee. And if Lee plays 30, there's only 18 minutes left. Yeah, that's very worrisome.
Yeah. You know, a guy that I might – I don't know if I'd drop him for him yet, and I think you'd disagree, but I really like what Trevor Booker's doing for your Utah Jazz. I know you're just ecstatic with this Booker breakout for your Jazz. He's looking pretty good. You know, last night, 12-5-2-1-0. Hit two trays, and this is a new trend for Booker. He had 1 3-point made in his first 4 years with the Wizards. Already has five this year in four games. But, you know, he's He looks like he's a guy that's going to play 25 to 30 minutes a night because Kanter is terrible.
Yeah, this fall of Kanter is happening quicker than I thought.
Yeah, me too.
And Gobert, I thought, would steal some of these minutes. Because, you know, Booker wasn't – he was injured during the preseason, so we didn't really get to see how that was going to work out. So I think that kind of caught us by surprise. So, yeah, with Kanter playing terrible minutes, yeah, sure. Booker's solid.
So would you drop
– I'd stream him. I probably wouldn't own him. I'd stream him.
Would you drop Green for Booker if you needed a stream spot?
Yeah, if I need a stream spot, Draymond can go. I wouldn't be shocked if nobody picks him up either. Well, I'd probably wait until D-Lee got back.
Yeah.
As long as he's getting the minutes, I expect it to happen eventually. The problem is I don't know if the minutes are going to stay there. So until D-Lee gets back, I'm not dropping Draymond.
I agree with that. So, and then the big one for Booker, which is interesting to me, I think I'm dropping Spencer Hawes for Trevor Booker. I mean, Hawes 0 points last night.
Dead weight.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because his, you know, like I called him late last week, this year's James Johnson per 36s are going to look incredible, but you just can't trust the minutes at all.
No. I thought, you know, we'd get less minutes out of oh my God, what's his name? You're going to be cutting this one.
I'm not DeAndre cutting this.
Jordan. Yes. Are we really supposed to like memorize everyone's name in the NBA at every position?
I'm not cutting that. That was awesome. Come on. I know who DeAndre Jordan is.
Yeah, I'm surprised Jordan's getting so many minutes.
Yeah, me too. That was kind of the big concern for both of us coming into the year is we weren't really sure how his minutes were going to shape out. All right, so let's take a quick look at the RCLs through week one. Thanks again. Everyone give a slow clap to your RCL commissioners. Mostly just applauding myself because I am two of them. And you're one. So.
Yeah,
no, but,
me too.
but seriously, thanks again for everyone for playing this year. We actually doubled the RCL size from 13-14 to this year. So we really like seeing everyone coming out. Every Tuesday afternoon, you'll see the RCL standings. The standings post will be updated. We'll have the RCL post up, which is up now. And you can see the leaderboard of who is leading there. We actually, through week one, have an undefeated team in your RCL league. So everyone, be a predator to Heinrich Maneuver. Big week from Rudy Gay for him. So if you're in Slim's RCL league and you're playing Heinrich Maneuver, be sure to use your stream spots. Bring your A game.
Directly talking to the one person.
Yeah. Hey, we have like three listeners. So, you know, I'm hitting 33% of our audience, you know. So,
okay. That's good numbers. Good percent. I'll take it.
So the standings are going to look really awesome. You know, updating those throughout the year. How'd you do in your RCL leagues?
You just want me to say it, don't you?
Yep, I do. I wasn't even going to make you go there, but now I'm making you go there.
I lost to, I don't know, some noob. Yeah, I lost to JB.
Oh, incredible. And you were talking some smack because I had Kevin Durant as my first pick. To be fair, you had a lot of injuries too. I got you when you missed the first week of Reggie Jackson. I mean, Jax might be one of your best players for the next month. So.
And MCW.
MCW's hurt. You missed Rose.
And then there was
for a
Derek
game.
Rose sitting.
So.
I'll get you in the rematch.
Yeah, that'll be fine. Yeah, that's fine with me. I'm happy.
You only got 4 or 5. It should have been worse.
I don't know about that. I have the best. My first round pick is a 0 for a month. So. I mean, it's my own fault for liking Durant so much in head-to-head, but...
No, that's being able to win the first week with Team Durant is huge.
Yeah, it was a nice, good week for me, so I was happy to see that. I got to win
in my other RCL.
Yeah, and as did I. My other RCL team...
I lost. Dang. Never mind. I was winning going into Sunday.
We have too many teams. It's impossible to keep up.
That team's going to be good. I am not worried about it.
Yeah, I had a good week in my RCO1. This draft happened like 2 months before the season. And the guy I played, he unfortunately had Durant, Oladipo, and Calderon out. So injuries have ravaged his team before the year even started. So that was kind of an easy one there.
Yeah, if that was me, I'd have trouble holding on to Calderon.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know who's really good on the wire, but I probably would too. So yeah, like I said, thanks again for everyone to hopping in RCL Leagues. It'll be fun to follow throughout the year. We'll be sure to give a shout out to who's leading the leaderboard, as I have no vocabulary, and we'll be fun to follow that all year. And in our Yahoo Friends and Family League, we won 5-4 our first week. You feeling pretty good with our team there?
Oh, ecstatic. We won it with Hawes and Jameer Nelson.
Yeah,
we get to bring in Teague and Larry Sanders to replace him. Come on. We're looking great.
Yeah, man. And remember people slamming our Kevin Martin pick? And,
oh, yeah.
And at first they looked right because he was hurt and then came off the bench. But huge game in that last game of the week that helped us.
Oh, it's exactly what we need, too, with those 3 points and great free throws.
Yeah. So he's a perfect fit for us. I'm looking at our team now. It's a weekly league, so you know we kind of got screwed leaving Nelson and Hawes in. Probably going to drop Nelson this week, right?
We already let Hawes go, and Nelson's just dead weight. I mean, we're going to get Michael Carter Williams back eventually as a, what, fifth point guard?
Yeah. I mean, Brandon Knight in this league has been a huge pick. We've got Rubio, Knight, Isaiah Thomas, Jeff Teague, and yeah, MCW is, you know, the fifth point guard behind those guys, at least when he comes back. Man, this team's going to be awesome. So,
You also noticed Isaiah Thomas got some shooting guard eligibility.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I see that now.
Yeah, that's helpful.
That's going to help us. Yeah, we only had Knight and Kevin Martin, right? Yeah, shooting guard eligible. But since it's a weekly league, you know, eligibility's. And the way this league is, point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center, and then 5 util. But that helps us out a little bit if Knight has, like, a 2-game week at some point. So.
Yeah.
So I think that pretty much covers our leagues. Anytime you have comments about your leagues or if you have any smack talk, you want to talk to your RCL competition, throw it up on the RCL post, and we'll be happy to have that. So previewing some of tonight's games. Oh man, my boyfriend Brandon Knight against my other boyfriend Donald Sloan, who I got for $1 in REL. I said was worth owning in 12ers before the year even started. You know, while this game is going to be terrible for in real basketball terms, I'm excited to see those two rebounding point guards go up against each other.
Yeah. I guess it'll be okay. No Stuckey this game, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Last I saw, he was questionable, but I doubt they push him with, you know, you have a foot injury and you're kind of rushed back and then have another foot injury. Not sounding good. Are your Heat going to win? Are they going to beat Houston?
It should be a good game. It could be entertaining.
Yeah, that's probably the game of the night. 4-0 Rockets at 3-0 Heat. Patrick Beverley should be back, so if you streamed Isaiah Cannon for a game or two, you can probably put him back on the wire. Jason Terry seems to play a lot of backup point guard minutes anyway. They like Cannon more as a starter.
I'm streaming in that first game. I'm streaming Copeland tonight.
Yeah, he should hit. What did you put the over-under on? 4 threes tonight?
He's going to have opportunities. How about just attempts? Over under 8 attempts.
Yeah, I'd take the over on that. This is going to be a fast-paced game.
That could be a good streamer.
Yeah. So, and that's something I put in my article this morning was, is Chris Copeland really that much worse than Jeff Green?
No, it's not that different. I don't really expect steals and blocks from either one of them.
Yeah, just I mean,
kind of lucky when it happens, but
Green's gonna, you know, Green has the upside for bigger games and rebounds better. But other than that, I mean, that's why these 3-point specialists that have these big games like Jeff Green does, I just can't buy.
I mean, his minutes aren't going to go anywhere. Whereas Copeland, who knows night to night, so that's,
yeah, Yeah, I mean, that, but... I mean, that's a point, yeah. But, I mean, just for comparison's sake, if both were starting in the same minutes, they're really not that different.
No, definitely not.
OKC at Toronto, that should be a fun one, seeing whatever the hell the Thunder do with their battered team. I you know, Telfair Reggie Jackson might be the smallest starting backcourt the NBA tonight. So.
How about JV against Steven Adams?
Oh, that should be a good one. I bet Adams throws him around.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, JV's.
Awesome. We got a couple of Toronto fans that might not like to hear that, but that is kind of what I'm hoping.
Yeah, so we'll talk some smack with the Rat fans tomorrow. You know, this is lower tier and obviously a little biased for me being a semi-Hornets fan, but hoping to see MKG come back. I mean, I watched the first quarter against the Knicks before he went down. Took a hard fall, had to come out of the game. But for that first, you know, 9 minutes he played, he actually looked really good. The Hornets were really stagnant. MKG made a couple shots, had a couple good layups. He's going to get rebounds. He's going to get out-of-position blocks. So he's a guy that if he's out there in your league and you need out-of-position blocks or boards, he'd be a guy I'd get. And
I got bad news for you. He's already ruled out.
Oh, is he ruled out? Oh.
Bruised ribs.
Yeah, I knew he had bruised ribs. I knew he was questionable. So hopefully it's just this one game, and if you're contemplating adding him, you can wait one more day. I'm sure there's not that many people clamoring to get him.
You streaming Gerald Henderson tonight?
No.
I don't think so.
No. Gerald Henderson is terrible. That's the one thing about the Hornets. I love their starting lineup. I obviously still like MKG. You know, Stevenson and Kemba, while they're, you know, they're bricklayers out there, they're fun to watch. And then, you know, Marvin Williams, whatever. Al Jefferson is awesome. But then that second unit for the Hornets is so bad. I mean, Gary Neal can hit a shot, but they're playing like Jason Maxeal, who looks terrible. And then Gerald Henderson and Brian Roberts is terrible. It's a horrible second unit. So look for my boyfriend Austin Rivers to have a decent game for the Pelicans second unit. And then what's fun for this game too is Stevenson and Evans, both, you know, triple double threats every night. Someone asked in the comment this morning, is Lance Stevenson really that, you know, are they the same person, Lance Stevenson and Tyreek? I said Tyreek's a better, much better scorer, but it is kind of funny that both these guys as small forwards, shooting guard types, are getting triple-doubles or flirting with it every game.
Yeah, I mean, Stevenson's probably got a couple inches on him.
Yeah.
And of course, defensively, I would give it to Tyreek every time.
Stevenson's a pretty good defender.
Defensive stats.
I don't know.
Tyreek will get the 1.5 steals, which is really
yeah, that's
nice.
True. I mean, the steals will be there. I mean, did you see how well Lance Stevenson guarded LeBron's nose last year in the playoffs? I mean,
it worked so well too.
I mean, there wasn't a drop of snot coming out of that nose, no matter what happened. I mean, that was so. Yeah, I mean, I'd rather Tyreek too, but you know, Stevenson. I think I said this last Friday or maybe on Monday. That maybe he's a little overrated because he flirts with the triple doubles, but he really doesn't do much else besides those three categories. I mean, his field goal percentage is terrible.
So, yeah, that was the thing last year that really saved him was the field goal percent. So maybe it comes back.
Yeah, and I don't think I think he's like either made one three or hasn't made a three yet in like a ton of attempts. So
yeah, that's not good. That's really, if you don't do steals, threes, or blocks, your value just plummets.
Yeah. So if you're seeing Lance Stevenson in the box score going 13-8-8, and you're like, oh, I need to add him, be sure to factor in those ancillary stats. For the Suns, PJ Tucker is coming back, but reportedly will be coming off the bench. I know it doesn't really matter.
Marcus Morris only got about 20 minutes the past two games, if my memory serves. So I don't think this does too much. I'm a little surprised. I think they kind of liked Tucker's defense to start the game. So it's a little bit of a surprise.
I mean, do you think that's just maybe a factor of just easing him in?
No, he was there all year last year. I don't think, I mean, it's not like he's injured. Maybe they're just like, you know, trying to penalize him more for his super DUI.
So you're going to be off the super bench. Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised.
Yeah. So yeah, other than Markieff and all your awesome guards, there's really not much there fantasy-wise. But I do want to mention, I want to give myself a little applause for the Alex Lynn call early in preseason and ranking him, actually. He's looking pretty good as a backup to Plumlee. You know, went 10-11 when Plumlee had foul trouble on Halloween last Friday. And then on Saturday, 4-3-2 and 4 blocks in only 18 minutes. I think Lynn could take the starting job. What did you say?
He's the future.
Yeah, that's true. I thought you said he's injured, and I was like, uh-oh, because he is injury prone. He might have gotten injured getting out of bed this morning.
Yeah, I actually wrote about him a little bit last year in some post. I don't quite remember what I said. It was a long time ago. But, yeah, I remember people kind of said, oh, he's soft and he'll never be anything, but I kind of like him.
Yeah, I do too. He looks pretty nimble and athletic for a 7-footer out there. And, I mean, he's got a decent jump shot too, so he's not, you know, relying on banging. So, who is someone that relies on banging? Other than Kim Kardashian.
Well, Steven Adams does.
Yeah, there you go.
That's his game.
Jason Maxiel would be one, except for he looks like the blueberry from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Why is this team playing Jason Maxiel? It's so annoying. I don't know why I have to hate Jason Maxiel so much, but I just am.
Well, you hate Zeller pretty much, too, so I think it's kind of a lose-lose either way.
Yeah, I mean, Zeller's looked pretty good, actually. I mean, Zeller's looked fine.
What he does.
Yeah, he's been fine. He's not Jason Maxiel. I think that's going to be my go-to line for if anyone's bad. At least he's not Jason Maxiel.
that's a good benchmark.
Yeah. All right, so I think that's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow we're going to be talking DraftKings, recapping Tuesday action where Brandon Knight hopefully has a triple-double.
You forgot one game.
Oh, what did I forget?
Portland-Cleveland.
I didn't forget it. I mean, what's to talk about in that game?
Well, that's the game. I mean, that's two playoff teams.
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, fantasy-wise, though, I mean, you're starting all your normal guys. I mean, is Tristan Thompson interesting to you after having 13 offensive rebounds later this past week?
No.
Did you see that?
About as much as Chris Kamen is.
Oh, did you see that Tristan Thompson had 13 offensive rebounds?
I saw the box score. I was hoping someone would pick him up, but I didn't see anybody.
That's preposterous. Tristan Thompson's terrible, but hey. At least he's not Jason Maxiel.
I mean, is it wrong that I want to stream him just to put him on my bench? does that still count as streaming?
You just want to be able to say you benched him because
look, I have an empty spot. I'm not going to play him.
Oh, Tristan Thompson. Yeah, he's terrible.
Oh, did you do your Guess Your Kobe line?
Yeah, I did. That's in the post today. Saw a bunch of people guessing. I'm going to pull it up right now. I don't remember exactly what I said. I thought he'd have a pretty good game. I think I said 29 and something.
It's a pretty good game.
Yeah. Didn't you have him for a really slow game today?
Yeah, I got a blowout. And I got him for 18, 3, and 4 on 20 shots.
Ugh.
That's a Kobe line.
Well, yes, that is a Kobe line.
But I'm going at this with Price is Right rules. So if I'm the lowest and everybody else is high, then I'm going to win.
I think you're certainly the lowest. I said a pretty good game. I gave them 29, 6, and 7. I just think, you know, coming back home, they lost pretty bad to the Suns before. Yeah. I could see them having a decent game here. So
I think someone put them down for 40.
Yeah, someone. This is like 42 or something. So
that's a good game.
Yeah.
We'll see about that.
We'll have to see what happens there. So yeah, that's going to do it for us. Like I said, tomorrow we're going to talk DraftKings, recap the Tuesday games, and we'll catch you then. Take it easy, man.
All right. Adios.